were going out like bees. He said, turn this car right side up. And they did.
Yeah.
I said, push it over and throw it. By God, they pushed it right through that deep snow, right in the road.
They got there with military training ever since, huh?
Ever since then, I've see how old Cheops built the pyramid. It was not bad, but nothing. You really do things.
I see your old Belmont go on getting up their wood pile. They're getting enough men around. They might get it done.
Well, I didn't get there at 12 o'clock. It turns me weird. So you know the road drives about 12 miles an hour. That's the way we had came. We came home by train. Broke through the bridge with a load of hay, not horses. I guess it broke through twice.
I went through with it. Well, not with all of them, but the news spread around. But I went over across the river. The load took it up and spread it across the river, and then came back. Horses were trotting on the way back. Went into the river. Arch Cole was working on Harden's house down at the gate place in Old Lower Pine. We had a pair of new harnesses for opening the line. He put up a new horse they got to make do. One horse was down, Dick was down, and Prince was above him. I kept thinking, again, Prince was going to flop over onto him and drown Dick. Well, Arch came tearing down. I hollered that he packed. Victor was up at the house that time. He called up the ghouls right off. Wasn't long before people began to assemble, but Arch got down there. Arch was all for cutting the traces on these horses and letting them out, but I had to high value on good harnesses. I had to restrain him before he could finally get on his. Get them on his and get them out of there.
Well, someone went over a load of hay an auction to take.
Didn't Percy tip a load of hay over once so he'd never have to drive again?
Well,
something like
when,
that.
When we were hanging down on the Eddy Farm, down where Ralph Wells lived now, father took a job at hand, which meant that we did the work. Percy did the mowing, and then logically, the guy does the mowing does the loading, see? But if you load, you have to pitch off also. And so he started in loading, but then he gets out one load in the barn, he put on another one, and the goddamn thing came off. So he gets off, he said, well, you go to load it, I can't make the load stay on. So I had to do the loading, but this time we began to get the hay up a little bit, you know, he had to pitch it up into the barn. There was a, you know, one of these doors built 4 feet square that you usually pitch up through. I think it's still on that barn down there now. Yeah. So after the summer, I loaded the hay and pitched it up.
Well, the worst hole was to pitch through that hole down to what they call the Albert Lampton place, down by the cemetery.
Yeah,
that exactly. Slopes right down the hill right there. So the top of your load is ways from the door.
I never had to do that, but there was enough hay on that farm. They told me anyway, I was going two good sized loads, really.
Well, not so I didn't like to pitch up there, and that was face to west. The sun would be good in there.
But I'll never forget that twice, the person I handled. Going down, we used to drive from the Pines down to the Eagan-Eddy place. So we drove the colt, got the colt and the buggy, and then the horses we had to lead along behind. Well, we didn't have to do it this way. I argued that if Percy couldn't drive the horses, they had to get down there, he ought to drive them down. And let the rest of us go along with the buggy and season of ride, but he wouldn't hear to that, so he insisted upon riding the buggy and leading the horses. Well, we started off, and that was being very peaceful. Just working out
well, the news. Part of that is that I was riding behind you.
Just before we get down the news,
yeah,
we really got to go in.
You did.
I gave Percy a mighty heave. He grabbed hold of my shirt. He went out with the buggy and took my shirt with it. And all I had was a string of the shirt. Well, in those days, it was terribly embarrassing dealing out a shirt. You know, now they wouldn't mind at all. Gee, I was terribly embarrassed. I wrapped my jacket around me, went into Lee Short's store, and negotiated the purchase of a shirt.
Well, Freddy, I had to take charge of this driving there for 3 minutes before I could get reorganized.
Well, I remember another time. Remember when Murder was sick?
What time?
And you were left at home in general charge. Percy and I got to fighting out in the kitchen. Well, Paul, he remonstrated with us, don't keep quiet, it's disturbing Murder, but it made much effect on us. But we kept on squabbling. So finally, Paul opened the kitchen door and grabbed Percy. Burn with his talent. I thought, gee whiz, this is pretty nice. He's just holding up my adversary. Next thing I knew, I gave him out the fine.
Who was Merle?
Muriel.
Oh, Muriel. You remember Ion Lamberton?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was quite a scrappy young fella. A little bit younger than I. Harold Brown. Just about my age, Harold was a strong boy. And one recess, somehow or other, I thought I was quite a boy. And I says to those two fellas, I bet I can put down the two of them. And they laughed at that idea. I said, I'll take you on. Well, we had the entry all to ourselves. I made a feint for one of them. Then Spiro suddenly caught the other with one arm and put him down. The other was so astonished that he didn't realize what was going on. I swung the other arm, grabbed him, and slapped him right out of him. One rushed out of the other quicker than he could say nothing.
Well, I think very similar to that. Harry Becker, his father moved to manage a farm in Sturbridge, Connecticut. Massachusetts. Fisdale. Sturbridge.
Fisdale.
And after a couple of years, he came back. Well, he and Henry Brown and I had been chums before he went. When he came back, we met him down in the village first night. Harry said to Henry, I think we can lick Fred now.
Harry's a big party boy.
And so they tried it, but I could put the boat down, pull them down there.
Well, I remember two that
I
remember the two that you could put down together. That was Wesley Lamp and Les Newton together.
Well, Wesley was older than I
know. Yeah, Wesley, besides you, Dr. Strong.
I never tangled with Wesley, but Leslie, I often.
Oh, yes, alone you could beat Wesley, but Leslie Newton, but Wesley Lamp, he was pretty party fellow.
There was only one fellow that I was avoided tangling with at my age, that was William Sullivan. So I was telling Wavy that he said you weren't more afraid of me than I was of you.
Well, Wavy pretty clever with his hands.
He was a very good boxer.
Yeah, I imagine he would be. You know, I used to box at Goddard with Clarence Pitkin. And see Clarence, watch him act, you wouldn't think he was any good. My God, he was very clever. He was clever, awful clever and hungry. You know, I was just thinking, when you spoke of the place where Art Cole was, at the time the horses went over the bridge, I went to a party there when Wavy Solanam was living with his uncle in that house.
Oh, Rogers.
Rogers. And at that time, Wavy had, I think that was the place. I went to one party where Wavy exhibited a violin he'd made, I think using his cigar box for the body. Now it may have been there, or it may have been upon the River Road
fire AIN is set up out there.
Well, he and his brother Walter, later, you know, had a dance orchestra for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Walter was ugly disposition.
Yeah.
Where did Wavy get his nickname?
What's his name?
Waverly. Oh, is that?
Well, Waverly Town was Waverly. Wavy, they called him, but Wavy Salham, I never saw it written the other way, it's W-A-V-L-E.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think I've heard his name. Well, the two strong fellows in town used to be Ernest Folsom, you know him, and Merton Beckley.
Oh, I didn't know Merton.
Merton Beckley was running a food jewelry store.
Yeah.
And he had a hose outside to hitch on outside, and one summer night, Ernie came along. Merton was sitting on the steps there, and Ernie Folsom, Obie, as we call him, turned the hose on and began to squirt it on Merton Beckley. Well, Merton Beckley got to put that, kept squirting. Merton and Obie said, well, come over and take it away from me. Bert went over and he took it away from him. But that humiliated Ernest because quite a crowd together. They were both big fellows.
My guess would be that Mert had quite a lot more intelligence than Obie. Obie had a brother, Harry. Went to school with mother.
Yeah. What was his name?
Mother Day, too.
What was his name? Harry's best girl.
Mabel Cotton.
Were they married?
Finally, I think they did get married. Don't you see, fun see them go down the street.
Yeah.
Harry would be about four steps ahead of Mabel. And Harry was a great big strapping fella. And Mabel was a little sawed off the shrimp, you know. And she would come tagging along, not directly behind, a little off center from, you know. Change his looking arrangement?
Well, I don't know if you ever saw Percy and I walking to high school Cabot.
Well, you started out.
Upper Village.
I never know.
Well, we'd go the whole distance. Percy would be about two rods behind me all the way up. But he wouldn't get any farther behind.
Well, I remember Paul and I were going to the village from Bent Farm, which is about a mile. About a mile. Percy said he wanted to go. Well, Paul and I said, we're going to run. You couldn't keep up. You remember that, Percy? He kept up with us all the way. Oh. How much younger is Percy than you?
6 years.
Yeah. We were probably, I'd have been 20, and he'd have been 15. He'd been about 11.
Harry Folsom had pneumonia. Ran the temperature of 140. Can you tell about that?
He finally cooled off enough to tell about it.
The temperature went up about 2 degrees every year he's falling. I think probably the doctor told him. But he wasn't, and he believed it.
He got the deer on the floor, and it changed, that's all.
Well, our doctor in Brooklyn was complaining last year that a lot of people call up and say that their child has a temperature of 108. And what they forget to say is 108 tenths. They get all excited. In fact, some of them, I guess, just misunderstand what they read, really. Tells them a couple of aspirin will probably.
Well,
remember one the basketball game, Montpelier came up, played the Marshfield boys, and how much mother enjoyed the game, talked about it after.
Well,
why, she says, those Montpelier boys, she says, they would pass the ball from one to another. The Marshfield boys would run circles around. They couldn't get a hand on the ball.
I remember of our team, Marshfield team, playing the girls once, and we kept one hand behind us all the time.
Where'd they play, George Hall?
Was that so he wouldn't put both arms around you?
Marsh Hall.
I remember Charlie Lilly told about one of the basketball games that the girls were playing, and Noah Goodrich, by inadvertence, went into the girls' dressing room. And Charlie says to Noah, he says, "Well, how much is see them, Noah?" "Well," Noah says, "I saw enough of them to know they were girls."
Well, what became of
that? Just like Noah.
Noah died.
Noah died long time ago.
Somehow I always associated Noah with Ralph White, but I don't know why. Whether because there were two orphans or what it was.
Well, they both named Ralph. Noah's name was Ralph. Ralph Goodrich.
Well, they came to town about the period of that same time.
What he short was their uncle.
You know, Noah went
to the boat.
Well, I mean, Noah, uncle to Bert and Ralph. Noah
was quite remarkable as a basketball player. He was slow in movement. But when he had the hands on his hands on the ball, very difficult to get that ball free from his hands. Tremendous grip somehow on his hands. The player at good height.
Very droll sort of guy.
You know, he had a walk like an old man.
He and Doc Lyons were together when he was during the war, First War, World War.
Doc up to Rochester?
Yes.
Editing the paper?
Mm-hmm. Where?
Rochester, New Hampshire. He's in very bad shape, really. He has a very, very serious heart attack.
You'll see him asking me if Mark Davis is there. But his sister said she called on him up there once. Retired.
Yes. I haven't seen Doc for years. He's been up here once or twice. He was making a collection of stories about Marsh Neal several years ago. I've never seen him.
He's involved in a couple of good ones himself.
Who is this? Which one?
Doc Lyons. Who is it? Somebody came over the hill?
You think about Stanley? No, Stanley's a doc, aren't you?
Is it Stanley and the pistol duel with
with Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it was.
Yeah,
Charlie came over the hill.
Well, Charlie, you know, lives over here where Henry does, where his father lives.
Next ridge.
Stanley came up within the sight of the house, got behind the tree, and shot off a gun. Charles immediately came carrying out the house. He got a gun, came carrying out, and he began shooting. So one guy took his head off the tree, and I'm going to shoot at him. And then dashed behind, and pretty quickly followed the shot, and took his head off, and I'm going to shoot at him. They carried off this door for a while, and finally had their fun, so they came out. But those guys, the Joe Lee has had a force. He's got a force over this story.
Was Joe was Merrill Buxton's uncle or something?
No.
No? I thought it was Merrill Buxton's uncle.
No, Joe had a horse that he pastured somewhere up near Brown's. And Stanley and Charles were out once looking around, explaining this horse's existence. So they helped shove it. And Joe, after quite a long time, began to come up and the horse was all around, several weeks passed. Finally discovered it. The horse died. So figure out why. He said, you know, what happened to the horse?
Badly bloated by the time he found it. I heard that story years ago. Bill told me about that. I somehow thought Merrill Buxton was in on that hunt. So.
I never heard that until Doc Horson told me. I forget how a doc found out about it.
Joe was a sharp trader. He would sell his a bunch of cattle by weight to be shipped by train to the depot at Marshfield. Well, before setting out for the driving of them on the road up there, he would give them salt, generous amount of salt. Then he let them out in the yard, give them time. They'd fill their bellies all they could hold with water. Then he'd go around the village and have them away.
Well, there's more to that problem.
Yeah,
in physics, though.
So there's a lot more to
it. And Joe got covered. He's driving up one time.
By the time you got him up the depot, he probably lost more than money put into him, didn't he?
Well, I guess that makes me think of a story that Percy told, not a nice story. But the fellow was telling you about the experience he had with a lion. He said, it was in the city, this lion got loose. And he said, I was half of the lion which was running along. He said, the lion apparently got his eye on me and his ideas on me. And he said, I began to run. He said, I ran as fast as I could. And turned the corner, looked back, the lion would be coming. He said, in a few minutes, he said, I found that I was easily gaining some on the lion. And he said, once I glanced back and noticed the lion was slipped. And went around the corner again and noticed the lion slipped again. And well, he told the story, he said, well, I'm trying to get away from it. Well, he said, how did it affect you or something like that? Well, he said, you think that lion was slipping off? I think we better go, all right. I shouldn't have any more
stuff. You expect the same dirty story.
Now, see, my suitcase is in the...
Oh, yes, you want that. I'll get it. Well, hope you get a little sleep tonight, Fred.
Where's the flashlight?
Oh, I get a little. The boys aren't likely to get you up early.
No.
They're not very dynamic in reading the sound, are they?
Richard usually gets up about 3:30 on the call.
Yes.
You know,
next time.
Well,
I think sure it's down perfect. I'll see how this comes down. Mm-hmm. Try to get it straightened out. I got one of them, the reel. Reel is bottom side up. I have to run it off onto another one sometime to get the numbers straight.
Well,
good night, everybody.
Let my eye down.
Might get up in the morning. I don't know how long he's
able to get up. You have to light a fire down here. Hey, what's this? Hey, where? Where?